see, he heard me. I got it right. Okay, you guys ready? All right, who's that? Anastasia. Who got that right? Okay, one person. Carl, you, no fair, you were in the early service. Okay, so we started with a hard one. Okay, let's try another one. All right, this one's a little easier. Who's that? You don't have to raise your hand, just shout it out. Sleeping Beauty, Aurora, very good. Okay, all right, who's that one? Eric, very good. All right, who's, this is a tough, this is the hardest one in my opinion. Who's that one? Oh, Flynn Rider, wow. Somebody got that, nice. I didn't know if anybody get that one. Who's that? Moana, very good, okay. I thought this one was hard, but early service got it immediately. Anna, yeah, good. Anybody seen that movie yet? No, it's on our to-do list this holiday season. Okay, that's an easy one. Yeah, there's Cinderella. All right, who's that? Wow, you know all of these. Good job. All right, now this is the hardest one. You ready? Who is that? Very good. Yeah, Donald Duck. All right, nice. Okay, so when we read the Bible, sometimes we think, oh, that's just a bunch of myths, a bunch of fairy tales. It's like a Disney movie, right? It's, you know, we can't relate to the characters in the Bible sometimes. But the Bible is not a fairy tale. It's a real, it's filled with real accounts of real people. And sometimes those real people go through some stuff. You know, like the Disney characters, they have, there's always some conflict there. There's something that has to be resolved. But within 30 minutes or 90 minutes, it's taken care of and everything's fixed. The Bible is full of real people dealing with some real tough times. The prophet Malachi, that's who wrote our Old Testament reading for today, he was not a Disney character. He's not a fairy tale. He's a real prophet. And he was bringing God's truth to Israel during one of their darkest times. So I just want to give you a little bit of a background on that real quick. So you know, the nation of Israel was a very small nation. It was surrounded by other countries that were all more powerful. And over the course of their history, they get picked on by all these big empires and taken over. Well, in this case, it was the Persian Empire. And they had conquered the Israelites, and they had taken many of them into captivity in the capital city or the areas of Persia. Well, there was a certain Hebrew man named Nehemiah. Has anybody heard of him? He was one of the Hebrews who was captured, and he was led off into captivity in Persia. But he gained favor with the king. The king thought very highly of him, kind of liked him. And Nehemiah had a concern for his hometown. He wanted to go back home and rebuild his home. And he asked the king if he could do that. And the king said, yeah, you know, I trust you. You can go do that. Well, Nehemiah was very clever. He knew even then Jerusalem had kind of a reputation as being a hotbed of rebellion. So he didn't mention that his hometown was Jerusalem. Otherwise, the king might not have let him go. But the king said, yeah, but I need you here by my side, so go rebuild your ancestral home and then come back as soon as you can to me. So the king of Persia's name was Artaxerxes, and see, we have a great likeness there of him that archaeologists have been able to find. And so then Nehemiah went from the capital city of Persia, Susa, over to Jerusalem, and there he spent 52 days leading the Israelites in rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And while they were rebuilding the walls, not only did they rebuild Jerusalem, but Nehemiah also led them back to God. They began worshiping him again in the way that Moses had laid out for them and following those guidelines. But remember, the Persian king, Artaxerxes was his name, he had said, Nehemiah, you hurry back to me. So after 52 days of building the wall and some time as governor of the Israelites, Nehemiah went back to Persia, but his heart was still back in Jerusalem. So some time later, he went back to Jerusalem, and what did he find? Well, he found that the Israelites had some pretty short memories. They had rebuilt the walls, he led them back to God, and they had their worship had become half-hearted. They were just kind of going through the motions, and maybe even worse, they started mixing their beliefs and their rituals with those of the pagan religions around them. So the book of Nehemiah does not end on the happiest of notes. But in writing about this time, Nehemiah wants to make it clear. He's not just telling us like a Disney type of story. He's not just writing a fairy tale. He's giving us a real account of things that really happened. And in fact, he invites us to check the history, check with archaeology, check and see that this really did happen. He takes care to date when these things happen. He said his first trip to Jerusalem was in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. The second trip was in the 32nd year. Well, Persia was one of the most powerful empires in all of history. Everyone knew who they were. Everyone knew who Artaxerxes was. They could easily verify, yes, these events really did happen. It's not just some made-up story. Okay, well, that's the background for when Malachi comes. And Malachi is talking to the Israelites about this very difficult time in their history. He came to speak God's truth and call them back to God. So we actually see this as a pattern all throughout the Old Testament, where God's people turn away from him and then things go badly, and God raises up a prophet or perhaps a judge. He speaks God's truth to them and calls them back. It's like a rinse and repeat cycle. It just kind of happens a number of times in the Old Testament. And Malachi reminded the people then that the day of the Lord was coming. This is one of Israel's toughest times, but Malachi talked about a new sun, a sun of righteousness that would rise. He said, on that day, justice will be served, evil will be stamped out, and the broken will be healed. And of course, he's talking about Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. Jesus came as a baby in a manger. He came as a Savior on the cross. And he's the one that fulfilled God's justice and brought healing for us. He healed the sick and he healed the brokenness of those around him. And of course, he's here to heal our brokenness as well. And Malachi promised the day of the Lord would come when there would be renewal and a new creation. And Malachi used a couple of images. One, he said, the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing on its wings. And of course, the Israelites would have understood he's referring to the time when they were slaves in Egypt. You think you got it bad now. Remember when you were slaves in Egypt? That was the darkest time in Israel's history. And they knew he was referring to how God had been there with them during that time. And it's a reminder to us, too, God is with us in our darkest times. But there's another image that Malachi used, and I had a little harder time relating to this one. He said we would be like calves leaping from the stall. I live in a big city and that in the 21st century, and I don't really understand that one very well. So I found a cartoon that I think captures it pretty well. When we get older, running won't be fun. It'll just be exercise. Oh, to have that day when I could run and enjoy it. I know we got a few runners in here, but I don't run like kids do. So Malachi is giving us a picture of the day of the Lord, a picture of what heaven will be like. And I think it's a lot of fun to just kind of imagine what heaven would be like. You know, Disney is excellent at using imagination, stimulating imagination, and I love to imagine what heaven could be like. So I would like to invite you, spend a few minutes, the next few minutes, imagining what will heaven be like. So I've got some questions up on the screen. What do you know heaven will be like? What do you hope it will be like? And is there anything you used to be able to do that you'd like to do again? Now, this doesn't work if there are people that are all by themselves. So look around. If there's somebody sitting by themselves, include them in your conversation. But I'm going to give you 3 minutes to talk about this. Ready? Go. right. 3, 2, 1. Good. All right. I heard some laughter and I heard a lot of conversation. I personally think it's a lot of fun to imagine what heaven will be like. We don't know a lot of details from the Bible about it, but it is fun to think about it. And of course, we're not living in heaven yet. We're still living on this side of heaven. So Malachi paints us this picture of what that day of the Lord will be like because we're on this side of heaven, because we still have struggles in this life. So the Bible is not full of the Disney-type characters who are larger than life. The Bible is full of stories, accounts of real people who are going through some real stuff in their lives. So, for instance, Abraham and Sarah and Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had the common problem of infertility. They longed to have kids and didn't get any kids until they were well into their old age. I can only imagine the despair and the discouragement that they had during that time. I think about Peter's mother-in-law. Does anybody know what was bothering her? Anybody remember that one? It was a fever. Good. Have you ever sat with a sick child with a fever for a long period of time, overnight maybe? You don't feel good when you have a fever. She probably only had it maybe for a few days. Who knows? But Jesus noticed. Even something as mundane as a fever, Jesus noticed. And he reached out and healed her. Then we think about the woman who had bleeding for 12 years. It bothered her so much, it was such a problem for her, that she spent all the money she had on doctors trying to get better. And in fact, even though she spent all of her money, she got worse. And I can only imagine the despair and the desperation she felt at the point when she heard that Jesus was coming to her area, to her town, and she just had to go see him. We think about the Apostle Paul. He said he had a thorn in his flesh. And many people have speculated what that was. Truth is, we don't know what the thorn in his flesh was. The Bible never tells us. But we do know, even though Paul prayed, God did not take that away from him. As far as we know, that's something that Paul dealt with his entire life. However, we do know that Paul dreamed of heaven. And so he made it his mission on earth to take as many people with him to heaven as he could and tell as many people about Jesus as he could. We hear about a demon-possessed man, a man plagued by this demon for a long time, the Bible says. Now, the picture has him with clothes on, but the Bible says he didn't have any clothes to wear at all. So a homeless man plagued by a demon with nothing to wear until he met Jesus. And then the crippled man, the man who lived by the pool, who laid by the pool for 38 years, unable to move, but praying for healing. Could you imagine? Unable to move for 38 years and still not receiving the healing that he had been praying for, again, until Jesus came and found him. So those are just a few of the examples from the Bible, and most of those people that I mentioned, they did receive the healing that they had asked God for. But in most of those cases, it took a long time, didn't it? 38 years unable to walk, 12 years of crippling bleeding. Becoming a father or a mother for the first time well into their old age. But all those people waited on God in faith, and all of them, we can either tell from the Bible account or we can easily understand that they all struggled with despair. God knows exactly what life on earth is like. Yes, he is a magnificent king on his throne in heaven, but he's a king who loves his creation. He loves his people. He loves us so much that he sent Jesus as a baby in a manger, as a savior on a cross, to live with us. He came to earth to be with his people. And so he knows whatever we're struggling with, he knows what that's about. He knows what we're dealing with, and he promises healing. But we at Zion, we're real people too, aren't we? We are really struggling with some things too. It was about 15 years ago when Kathy and I lost a baby. I know many of you have dealt with that pain as well. And it was just this past summer that Kathy's father died, and our family is still really reeling from that and coming up on the first holidays now. It's been a very tough time. I know Carl and I were talking earlier. He's had some health concerns that we've been in prayer for. And I know when Ellie died, Kurt and Amanda, you lost your mom, you lost your wife. and so many others, John and Bev, I know you've had a long road with your grandson in the hospital. I'm not going to call out anybody else, but I wanted to just acknowledge just a few people who I know have had some significant pain in their lives, but God is aware of all the pain in our lives. So I'd like to give you a chance to get back with your group and talk some more about what are some of the struggles that you've had or perhaps are having in your life. I know this is kind of a lower the water level kind of activity, so if you're a little uncomfortable with that, feel free to share only as much as you're comfortable sharing. But it's easier to love one another when we know the burdens that we are carrying with each other. So what are some tough times that you've experienced individually or as a family? And maybe what are some tough times you're experiencing right now? Ready? Go.